Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Greetings, you culture bugs. Today's poem is called The Daffodils. I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils, continuous as the stars that... Aye.
Can't you read the sign, buddy?
Well, certainly. What sign?
The one behind those daffodils.
This one that says, do not pick flowers?
That's the one.
Well, there I was, Your Honor, wandering lonely as a cloud that floats...
30 daffodils, eh? That will be $30 and 30 days.
Now oft, when on my couch I lie, in vacant or in pensive mood, they flash upon my bright blue eye, as I sit here in solitude. And then my heart with anger fills. $1 apiece for daffodils?
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Our business is people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. He's green, so don't make him angry. You wouldn't like him when he's angry. Here he is, Mike Novak. And they pay me for this, folks. Okay.
But not nearly enough, right?
No, they don't pay you enough either.
I pay me.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
And you pay me.
And I don't pay either of us nearly enough.
We do it for another kind of green, Mike. They're for the greater good.
No, I do it for the money. Are you kidding me? What, you want me to do good in the world or something?
I thought that was the idea.
I just want to make some cash and retire to a mountaintop someplace, okay?
Are you just going to sit on a mountain and do philosophy or what?
Yeah.
Are you going to contemplate your navel?
I'm going to contemplate dog poop is what I'm going to do. Because that seems to be like the focus of everything in my life in the last 2 weeks.
It's a metaphor.
I cannot get the dog poop out of
it
my
happens,
life.
It happens, as they say.
And dog poop happens.
It happens.
I'm gonna. I want t-shirts. You know, poo.
Now, if you had the corner of the market of that, like the Forrest Gump. You know, it happens. The guy made $1 million.
Uh-huh.
The joke. You know, because I'm not going to
say
the S
word
on the radio.
I have a manure happens, or rather, a compost happens t-shirt. That's cool. But I'm thinking, you know, we got to have dog poop. Happens as well. And there, good morning, everybody.
Yeah, really.
On your way to church.
It's like this is always a chipper little show.
It's a chippy. It's become a chippy little show. Is what's
apparently
it has. And I will explain this to you for those of you who missed the whole controversy, which continues to rage
via Twitter.
Via Twitter. Via. Not just Twitter, but the blogosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of weeks ago, Michelle Owens was on the program to talk about her book, Grow the Good Life. Grow the Good Life. Okay.
Sounds like it came from a Rodgers and Hammerstein musical.
But so she's on and she got hit with the dog poop question and, was asked, you know, if I had a place in my... It was Santo, the bus driver. I blame everything on Santo, the bus driver.
He's going to call us now.
Santo, don't you ever call this show again.
Don't be mean to Santo.
I like Santo, the bus. I'm glad he's listening. But he asked the question, you know, can I plant in my yard if I've had a place where the dog has done its duty, and I guess he had more than one. And, you know, Michelle kind of off the cuff said, well, you know, how long has it been? And if it's been a while, you can probably put some compost down and mix it in. Nature has a way of taking care of these things. And I understand why she said that, because she had just written something about that in her book. Her point in the book, and it's a very good book, Grow the Good Life, and I heartily recommend it.
That sounds logical to me. That just sounds logical.
Well, the thing is, there's a lot of people who are concerned about pathogens, and rightly so. You know, the one thing she didn't say, which some people seem to think she said, was that you should use dog poop as compost in your garden. She did not say that.
No, it was just to recover the area where it was used for dog poop.
Right, and so it ignited this controversy. First on Twitter, right during the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, we started getting blasted with tweets. Mm-hmm. You weren't here that day.
I wasn't.
You missed that. All the craziness.
I know. I was away.
Mark was here and taking care of business. And so we started getting tweeted. And then she wrote again.
We have a tweet regarding dog poop. Snappy J Dog. Hey, I have an answer to the dog poop question via a U of I soil expert.
Well,
shoot it this way, Snappy.
Yeah, Snappy J, send it to us. Do you got a link? If you got a link, we'll look it up. Because it continues to go on and on.
As you can see.
Well,
if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at Mike Now to catch up.
At Mike Now, if you're on Twitter. Or you can send me an email, Mike@MikeNovak.net. Or you can go on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. We have a show page.
You can find my Facebook link by just going to, the Mike Novak Show is also on Facebook. And you can post anything. So anyway, Michelle Owens wrote a blog piece following her appearance and what she was trying to do. And then Mr. Brown Thumb wrote a blog piece earlier this week in response to that. And just this morning, I mean, just before I turn on the microphone, I get an email from Mr. McGregor's daughter who says, and she sends me yet another person writing about this. I feel like an innocent bystander train wreck.
You're like, oh, sort of. Maybe that's okay.
You know, and it's a link that I just sent to Kathleen, and I'm hoping she can post it on the homepage, because I've got Michelle's blog post, and I've got Mr. Brown Thumb's blog post, and now this other blog post. It's called Outside Clyde is the blogger's name, and he addresses the issue as well. And now Snappy J Dog mm-hmm. says she's got something from U of I.
I think a soil expert is the way to go. I think she's kind of cornered the market on
But you got to understand that it turned into several controversies. One was the dog poop,
snowflake that turned into an avalanche.
Well, it's just two different issues, and the other one was about putting
compost.
Chips, mulch, you know, hardwood mulch in your garden, and whether you can plant in that, whether it's going to rob nitrogen in the soil. Wally, the evil Dr. Wally from Pesci's called in, and now he's been dragged into the controversy as well. You know, people going back and forth on what Wally said and was Wally correct. And, you know, folks, let's calm down. Let's just bring it down a notch here.
It's dirt.
It's, well, you know, but you think that you can't have all those controversies in horticulture? Yeah, you can, actually. You can, and people do. And it's kind of interesting to see all this because I had...
Over dirt. That's
yeah.
what I love. Everyone here, like, they're dirt lovers, and that's great. You need healthy dirt. It's gonna save the world in the long run, where the healthy dirt is left.
So,
I'm hoping
I'm hoping that Snappy J.
We should make T-shirts. I heart dirt.
I heart dirt. Sure, why not?
Playing in it's fun too. Because I mean, come on, who doesn't like a good mud pie?
So anyway, I'm hoping we get the answer on this. But you know what I'm going to do? Here's what I've decided. Next week, I got to get Mr. Brown Thumb back on the show. I sent him a Facebook message last night and said, you got to get back on the show. We got to discuss this. And I want to get some more information on this as well. And, you know, let's just duke it out on the air here. Mm. I'll just, you know.
Don't hurt your knuckles now.
Ow.
You need those when you're on your knees gardening, don't you?
yeah, you do. Well, that's why you have the pads.
Okay.
You know? But, okay, Snappy J says, give me a sec.
All right.
Snappy, you're supposed to have this ready.
No, she's got it. We got till 11 a.m., my friend.
That's true.
And so what are we talking about from now till 11 a.m.?
Oh, look at you. Well, we're going to start with Florotica. And you say, what? What's a Florotica?
Huh?
It is a fashion show at the Garfield Park Conservatory, and it's fashion made from plants.
It's gorgeous. It's really cool. I've seen the pictures.
Well, and you can go to florotica.com.
.org,
rather, sorry, and see the, and we have one actually on the home site, or homepage, mikenowak.net, MikeNowak.net. This is coming up on Friday, March 25th, at the Garfield Park Conservatory. And we will talk to one of the designers and a person from the Garfield Park Conservatory Alliance. And then in the second hour, I'm very excited to have a guy named Chip Osborne on the program. He is speaking this Wednesday at a seminar that I am doing a keynote at, which is about natural lawn care. And it is going to be at Oakton College in Des Plaines. And a bunch of organizations have put it together. Chip Osborne knows all about organic lawn care. And I'm really happy to have him on the show and talk about that. And then in the Good Growing segment. And right after that, I should let you know, I'm speaking at the Naperville Home Showcase twice next week. On Saturday and Sunday. And Dennis Carroll, who's with the Home Show Pros, will be on a little later after Chip to talk about that. And then the Good Growing segment, David Cleverden of Kinnickinnick Farm in Caledonia, Illinois. He was organic before it was fashionable. And he has some interesting stories to tell about that. So that's all on the Mike Novak Show today. In just a couple of minutes, hang in. We're going to talk to the folks from Florotica coming up at Garfield Park Conservatory. Now, happy to have these people back on the show. That is the Bobex folks. And more than 20 years ago, Bobex founder Bob Exidy decided to create a product that not only stops deer damage, but is as environmentally friendly as possible. Word of this effort spread like wildfire, sometimes called wildfire, and that's why Bobex is still around today. They've improved on their products to not only keep deer at bay, but other animals, including rabbits, groundhogs, squirrels, chipmunks, voles, and more. All Bobex products are harmless to wildlife, even aquatic species. They contain no petrochemical or synthetic components, and they don't wash off in the rain. And it's an anti-desiccant, too, which means it can help your plants from losing moisture in the heat of the summer and the frigid temps of the winter. Don't look for Bobex products in a box store. Look for them in a Bobex store. By the way, it's spelled B-O-B-B-E-X. And a Bobex store, what's that? Well, it means your local independent garden center. And you can find Bobex at Seasons Garden Center in Alton, Illinois, Pesquazi Home and Gardens in Barrington, Illinois, Sandy's Back Porch Garden Center in Belleville, Illinois. Remember, plants thrive and survive with Bobex.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Today, did you know today's the first day of spring?
Is it today?
It's today.
It is today. I wasn't sure if it was today or tomorrow. Hallelujah, we made it to another one.
We made it. How about that? And you're ready to start digging in the dirt. Well, I'm telling you, be
not
careful.
Yet.
You know, don't compact your soil. It's still a bit wet out there. Sid's Greenhouses is ready to help ease the spring cravings. Their shipment of spring bulbs has arrived with dozens of new varieties available. This week, you'll save a dollar on every package when you buy four or more. It's also the time to get seeds started for transplants. And, you know, in just a week or so, I mean, we're getting real close to the time where you can self-sow. I bet, you know, might even be at that time right now. Sow outdoors, not self-sow. SIDS has all the great varieties, including USDA Organics. And to help you out, SIDS has scheduled a seed starting seminar and workshop at both of their stores next Saturday, March 26th. Get all the details at SIDSonline.com. If you don't have a yard to plant in, or even if you do, consider an earth box like we had in the WCPT parking lot farm last year, and we're going to do it again this year. It's the world's most revolutionary garden system. Use it to grow all sorts of vegetables or flowers with double the yield of conventional gardens, with less fertilizer, less water, and virtually no effort. Well, there's some effort, as you found out, isn't there?
There's a little effort.
There's
involved.
A little effort. You've
just
got
a skosh. It was quite a learning experience, though.
And Heather has, and I may make you plant them yourself this year.
Do I get the free dirt? Do I get rewarded in gourmet dirt? Because if I get awarded in gourmet dirt, I'll do it alone.
We'll see what we can do. I'll talk to the Dr. Earth people who are back on the show.
Speaking of loving dirt.
Yes.
You can pay me in it.
Fine. That sounds good to me. SIDS.
For the earth boxes.
Chicagoland's premier
cake.
Garden centers are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard. For more information or to join their free email list for news, garden tips, and sale information, visit SIDSonline.com. And when I look out my back door, I see crocuses starting to come
mm-hmm,
up.
And I did too.
And I've got an email from Arlene who says, last fall I planted 50 crocus bulbs in my front lawn. There is no sign of any of them growing. Older crocus bulbs that are in the garden area are starting to bloom. Did I lose all of them, or will they take longer to pop up because they are in the grass? You know, sometimes, yeah, it takes a... I found that sometimes the more established ones come up a little faster. But you might have lost some of them. I've been fighting squirrels for weeks, and I know they're just chomping on my crocuses, and I'm not going to have nearly as many as I thought. But maybe I can use them for design. Maybe use the leaves. Let's go to line one and bring in Perry Knight from the Garfield Park Alliance. How are you, Perry?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm just fine. Now, your full name is it Perrine?
Perrin? Yes.
Okay, so it's Perrin, but people call you Perry.
Yes. Right.
Okay, great. And
for the obvious difficulty in pronunciation.
Exactly. And Stacy Ball is that how you pronounce your last name, Stacy?
Yes, sir.
And it's with one L, B-A-L.
You got it.
I'm happy to have both of you on the show today because we've got Floratica coming up at the Garfield Park Conservatory next Friday. Stacy is one of the designers. This is a fashion show, by the way. And Stacy is a certified designer with the American Institute of Floral Designers. And you work at Whole Foods Market South Loop and ply your trade there. I guess you don't normally design clothes. You do other kinds of designs, right?
Exactly. Wouldn't it be nice if I could do that every day for myself?
Well, I mean,
I'm looking at the pictures right now. These are stunning.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. It is a lot of work. The first time I actually ever designed an outfit out of flowers was last year at Floratica. So this will be my second take on that.
I'll tell you what, Perry, why don't you explain how the evening works before I get into the details of how you put together a design with flowers and leaves and stems and whatever else?
Yeah, absolutely. That's
That's great. Floratico was actually sort of the brainchild of the Alliance in 2008. We were looking for sort of a signature fundraiser that really showcased the venue of the conservatory, which a lot of people in Chicago don't know about and is just an incredible Chicago gem, and something that brought in, obviously, the plants and flowers that, we grow and showcase in the conservatory, and then a great evening for people to come and enjoy and, you know, have sort of a high-profile event. So it is a fashion show, as you said. And there's
a runway and everything, right?
There is a runway, there's lights, there's
pretty girls,
you know,
and pretty flowers,
flash bulbs and models and all the stuff. It is a traditional runway experience. But all of our designers are floral designers like Stacey, and their trade is generally in floral design as opposed to fashion design. So they are really, for us, going out of the box and coming up with the most creative, incredible designs and creations you've ever seen in your life. They really just totally out of the box. You will never see anything like this show anywhere else.
Well, you can find out for yourself by just going to the website that Heather's on there, and it's Floratica, and that's spelled Floratica.org. And the fashions from the last 3 years, or last 2 years, I guess, right? This is the third year.
This is the third year.
Right. They're stunning. It's amazing stuff. So it takes me to Stacy, and I have to ask you, how do you hold that stuff together? I mean, are you using a hot glue gun or staples or what?
I think we all have a different approach. Here at Whole Foods Market, what we're going to do, we're actually making two different looks, and the tangible portion of the design process has really just begun now. And unfortunately, you can't do very much ahead of time. It's conceptual. So a lot of the last-minute work is pulling it all together the few days before. Last year, we used a lot of building material. We actually used a base of chicken wire or poultry netting and items like zip ties you'll find at a home improvement store. And that was the base of our dress, the poor girl. But she was a good sport.
I imagine, yeah. You know,
I she looked great.
Yeah, but she can't move. She can't walk.
Actually, they're professionals.
They have to walk. They have to walk down the runway.
She did a wonderful job. But everybody approaches it a different way. Personally, I stay away from a hot glue gun. It will cause burn marks on fresh material. So there are...
And on models.
Correct, yes. We don't want that to happen.
No.
But there is cold glue on the market by companies like Oasis Floral Brand Products that won't scar the flower and actually works with a wet product to keep it bonded. So there is items on the market that you can use.
Well, I imagine you also have to worry about, as you said, you can't do this ahead of time. Really, because it's plant material and it's only got a certain shelf life, and so I would think you have to do it just in the final hour or two, leading up to the fashion show.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it really depends on the quality of the product you're using and getting to know your product. Some of the product we're using is from a local farm in Wisconsin called Star Valley Floral Farms. And the product that we're using from them is mainly like flame willow, fantail willow, curly willow, items that are a little bit hardier. So we can start to use some of those items probably Wednesday, Thursday, but that fresh product is going on, you know, not until Friday morning and Friday afternoon.
All right. You have to give me what you learned last year that you will not do again this year because it didn't hold up.
Well, actually, last year I featured some of our whole trade certified calla lilies that were long stem, and they didn't like being out of the water for more than a few hours. They work fine in water, but when they were out for a few hours, they started to go down. So we had to replace a couple of those. One of the other girls that worked here worked on a dress made out of all tulips. And because they were inverted, they were okay. So kind of getting to know the product, you know, you wouldn't put a tulip upright because out of water, it's not going to stay.
I just saw that picture.
Isn't that beautiful?
It's beautiful.
Oh, my goodness.
Look, they're upside-down tulips that they've used to make the flow and pattern of her skirt.
And you know what, you guys? Being there at that runway show, watching that move, it is just a million times better than that photo.
The movement really was incredible of that skirt.
Oh, it was amazing. That's by Luz Cardenas. She works here at Whole Foods Cell Soup as well. It was just incredible.
What other kinds of very interesting designs have you seen before? And do you get a sense, do you know ahead of time what you're going to see?
No, we really don't. I mean, as Stacy just said, a lot of the pre-planning is just conceptual, and a lot of the designers have several ideas in mind and don't really make a final decision until a day or two before. So we are trying to get, you know, as much information as we can so that we can give it to our MC this year. But really, I think it's last minute for the designers as well as everybody else. So we are always completely shocked. And getting a description and text of what you're going to see doesn't remotely do it justice, just like seeing a static picture doesn't do the real-life thing any justice.
Well, no, I imagine it doesn't, because that material is all going to move. What is that?
Right.
Is that arborvitae that I'm seeing there on this picture? It sure looks like it's something like that, or ferns or something.
I mean, people used incredible stuff last year.
Yeah.
We had people with antlers. People have made hats. Every kind of material you can
imagine. Yeah, I'm looking at a fantastic hat right there now, and I can't tell what it's made of, but
looks like rose petals. The underside for color is rose petals, and the top, it looks like a fern or of some kind.
Do you try to, Stacy, keep the plants as whole as possible, or is it like, you know, in the rose parade in Pasadena, they're taking petals and they're, you know, pulling the plants apart? But in this case, I imagine that the aesthetic would call for you to try to keep the plant as intact as possible.
Most definitely. I think when you start to tear apart a flower and put it under stress like that, that the length of time you have gets shortened drastically. I think it depends, though, the aesthetic of what your design is. If you're a shop or an event company that might lean towards more modern style versus somewhere that might have a more botanical style, I think it kind of depends on your approach. I prefer personally using the most part of the plant as possible, the stem, some of the roots if possible, to kind of get an idea of that, you know, that earthy feeling. But everybody has something different to bring to the table, which is why it makes it so interesting.
And you say sometimes it's held together with chicken wire?
Well, that's what we use. Yeah, that's
I've
what
heard
we,
that I mean, most often from that, designers.
That seems kind of uncomfortable. I mean, how do the models react to this? Because this is not stuff they wear generally, and I imagine some of the plants are clammy, some of them are itchy, some of them are just who knows what.
Well, I think that the modeling agency that we went with last year, which I believe is the same, right, Terry, this
yeah.
year? The girls were all such great sports. I didn't hear complaints very much throughout the room. The model that I had was wonderful. You know, we kind of worked with her once we got the dress on her. She was actually closed in it. So once we got it to the point where it was going to be finished, I was like, okay, this is it. It's going to be about 4 hours. You're not getting out. And she, of course, with a smile on her face, was like, sure, go for it. And we had her test walk around the back room, and we made sure to make any spot that was, you know, irritating more comfortable for her. She did have a layer of clothing on between it, that and her skin.
Yeah, well, you don't want any wardrobe malfunctions.
Absolutely not.
but I am thinking, Perry, that this is an episode of Project Runway.
Absolutely. You know, and in fact, we are going to possibly talk to them next year about doing some sort of joint sponsorship. Yeah, it's very much we have come up with a best in design contest, which we are going to do because we're always looking for ways to give further feedback and appreciation to our designers, because they put so much of their time and creativity and efforts into this.
Mm-hmm.
And it is all for a good cause. So we are going to offer them the Best in Design package, which is a media advertising package, which has been donated to us worth almost $5,000, which will allow them to go out and advertise their services and their company in locations around Chicago. So we hope that that will just garner some more interest and give them some more exposure.
And you said it goes to a good cause, and I assume that's the Garfield Park Conservatory.
It is. It's the Garfield Park Conservatory. We are over 100 years old. We're the largest conservatory in the country, and we've been doing Floratica for 3 years. We started our first in 2008, and specifically the event goes primarily towards our educational programs. But we have over 1,000 programs at the conservatory that serve both youth, families, education, school groups, you name it.
As I wrote on my website, it's a gem. It's one of the city's great gems. And if you haven't been to the conservatory ever, you've got to go. If you haven't been there in a while, stop in. You're always reminded of what a remarkable place this is. And then, of course, people who come to see Floratica will get a chance to sort of wander through the conservatory as well.
Yeah.
And this all takes place this Friday, the 25th. The doors open at 6:30, right?
That's right. Doors and open at 6:30.
Show starts
at 7:30.
7:30. And if you want more information, you can go to my website, mikenovak.net. This week's show, I've got all the links there. And Perry, thank you so much for being on the show. And Stacy, good luck with the designs.
Thank you so much.
I hope all the flowers hold up. And I'm sure the event's going to be wonderful. And I hope I can get over there as well.
Wonderful. We hope to see you then. Thanks,
all right.
Mike.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Want to give great life to your plants? Give them great soil. Give them some Dr. Earth. And Dr. Earth is back with us this year. Happy. Here you get to spring, and the advertisers come crawling out of the woodwork. It's like, woohoo. I like it.
That's the green you were talking about before.
That's the green, and this is the dirt you were talking about before that you want to get paid in.
Dish it to me. Let's go.
I can do it. Due to things like chemical applications, many yards don't have healthy soil. Well, in the second hour, I'll be talking to Chip Osborne about what people do to their soil and what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing. But Dr. Earth's probiotics, a soil inoculant, consists of soil bacteria and mycorrhizal fungi that break down organic materials, make nutrients available to your plants, and help suppress pathogens. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth, sold only at local independent garden centers. Go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at plantskid.com. Proven plant protection, guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
And I'm happy to have Plant Skid on the Mike Novak Show this year, too. And they're back. No, not Plant Skid. And no, not the ghosts. The bugs are back. Or at least their eggs. But you can start protecting your plants now by spraying them with Bonide's all-season spray oil. The oil, and it's not a poison, so it won't affect the soil or water, is recommended for fruit trees, shade trees, shrubs, ornamentals, roses, and vegetables. All-season spray oil will work to suffocate fledgling mites, scale, aphids, bud moths, galls, mealybugs, and more. It's available in ready-to-use quarts and in concentrate form, and also in a convenient ready-to-spray formula, which features a built-in hose end attachment for easy application. Try all-season spray oil by Bonide and get even greener while you garden. And not covered in goo. You can find it at these local retailers. Platte Hill Nursery in Carpentersville, Illinois, Platte Hill Nursery in Bloomingdale, Illinois, Schwartz Nursery in Addison, Illinois, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you and a complete product listing of Bonide's Garden Naturals line.
Together and feel
This is for all of our warring factions on Twitter.
Can't we all just get along?
Can we all just get along?
That's our little shout-out for Sunday right there, too.
That's right. That's
that little pit right there.
That was it.
That was
the
it.
Only time
Did you blink?
The Lord got mentioned on this show.
In a non-sarcastic way.
Oh, dear. All right. Get me in even more trouble. Good. Thanks.
You already dug your own hole. I'm just helping.
All right. I'm going to try to get out of the hole that I got dug into here, bring in Rick DeMaio and throw him into the pit. You know. How you doing, Rick?
I'm not giving you a shovel or a spade or anything, Mike.
A trowel, maybe?
Just your hands and get your nails dirty as you dig it.
Hey, that's what gardeners do, man. Mm-hmm. They get their fingernails dirty.
Right. Yep, there's nothing worse than gardening with gloves. Do you garden with gloves?
You know, occasionally it depends on...
Yeah, when you're dealing with a lot of, like, broken branches and thorns and stuff like that.
Yeah, you got to have them.
Right. But generally it sounds like you don't.
I got to tell you, I have saved my fingers a couple of times because I was wearing gloves. And, you know, when you're pruning and you're working real fast and you kind of go, boom, and you hit the glove.
And
honest to God, I stopped myself from cutting off a finger a couple of times simply because I was wearing gloves. So gloves are very important.
The gloves inhibit my ability to quickly, you know, screw the top off of a cold rolling rock waiting for me off the side.
Well, no, see, the what you do is you take the top off first, then you put the gloves on. All right, that's how that works.
Oh, I gotcha. I'll never forget. I was outside gardening, and my dog would always, like, you know, every time I'd walk over there, he'd follow me. And then I noticed that my rolling rock was kind of tipped over on the side, and there was, like, a puddle of beer there. And, you know, dogs love beer because, you know, it's salty, and it's got a kind of that look to it, like it's a refreshment. Next thing I know, I'm looking at him, and he's really lapping up something, and I didn't know what was going on. Then I'm watching him walk down the pathway, and he was going left, and going right, and going left. And here I am thinking, I just got my dog drunk.
Nice.
It was actually kind of funny. So have you gotten into your yard at all over the last couple of days?
No. You know, all I'm doing is I'm just watching stuff come up. I don't even want to. I'm not touching anything. I'm just, because it's early. There's nothing. I haven't had time either. That's the other thing. I mean, I want to get some veggies going real soon, but I haven't had time to do, you know, seedlings under the light. So,
I know when I had my yard, I don't anymore, but this was a time of the year when I was basically just removing stuff that I never got to the previous autumn. You know, you just kind of like you're pulling stuff out and you're trying to just kind of get it going there. So, I just wondered if you were doing that because this was. Usually you get a couple of those warm days in late March, early April. You can't wait to get out there and just start kind of, you know, cleaning the flower bed a little bit.
Well, yeah. I did earlier, a couple of weeks ago, I noticed that the grass, and I don't have much lawn at all, just enough to sort of walk around the backyard and so I can tend to my garden beds. Right. But it was all matted down. I kind of took a rake and fluffed it up a little bit, and it just looked a little bit better. And that's basically all I've done. And I took some of that debris and I just, you know, raked it into the garden. At some point, I might clean it out. I might not. I might just let it all break down. It depends on whether I think it looks bad or good. Because I like putting organic matter in the garden beds and just let it break down, and it feeds the soil.
It's kind of like you felt like you did something just to get going, right? It's kind of like in college when. Then you have this huge paper that you have to write, and you feel like at least you got your title page done, right?
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you, the one job that's sort of staring at me in the face is my rambling rose, which is on the fence.
And
it's a mess, and I haven't pruned it in a couple of years because it's difficult because you got to pull out those canes, you got to figure out which ones, and you really want to do it now. Well, there's two ways you can do it. You can do it right after it blooms, which is one way to do it. But when you do it then, it's got leaves on it. It's a lot harder to see what you're doing. Right. At this time, before it leafs out, you've just got the canes. And I'm fine with cutting off some of the canes and losing some of the blooms just so I can have a more manageable plant because those things go nuts.
Right.
But that's the task where I'm going to have the gloves on. I'm going to have to be paying attention. I'm going to have to.
Right.
It's going to take a while. And trimming a rose bush is of that size is no fun. I do not look forward to that one. So that's the term paper that has to be done.
Yeah, I had one of those as well as the, what are they called? The columbine that just kind of runs up. Is that what I'm talking about, or am I talking about something else?
No, you're thinking clematis?
Yeah, clematis, yeah.
Yeah.
It covered my entire garage, and I'll never forget I had someone come over and do some work on the garage, and he literally removed everything off of one side of the garage, and I was going to kill him. I was like, why did you do that? He goes, well, the only way I can really get to this window here was to do that. I'm like, I was like, my hands were like had the shape like they wanted to go around his neck and squeeze all the light.
Oh, it's like Homer and Bart, right?
Yes, exactly. And it was just I was literally crying for like a month until something began to come up and resembled something that looked like a flowering plant on the side of my.
Well, you know what? The thing about the clematis or clematis, however you want to pronounce it, is that they do come back. You know, they will grow back. And yeah, I understand. I feel your pain there, Rick.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And you know what? It's as much as we're talking about spring and the fact that we are in, quote, the last official hours of winter 2010-2011, only because the vernal equinox arrives this evening at about 11:30.
I saw, wow, 11:30? Okay, I went online yesterday to find it, and somebody gave me some bum information. I saw someplace that it was 7:21 Eastern. But is it 11? All right, now we got to track this down. Heather, let's look this up, see what we're...
No. Hold on. You are correct. I am wrong.
Ah.
Yeah, I'm wrong.
How about that? I'm right.
Yeah, I wasn't converting it properly. I was thinking of what we call UTC, Universal Time Clock. But you are correct in what you just said. See, I was doing the old conversion because we had, we do everything in meteorological time where we do things based on the GMT clock, Greenwich Mean Time. So I needed to convert it back to Chicago time. So yeah, you're right. It does kick in at about 7:30 this evening. So,
cool.
So that makes spring come even quicker, isn't that nice?
Yeah, the countdown has begun. We are at
about 10 hours or so.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but the problem is the weather map says they normally do kind of throw a wrench into the plans here. So even though we have, you know, some rain moving into the area this afternoon, we'll probably clear out tonight and tomorrow. Looks like we get more rain on Tuesday, and looks like we get pretty cool around here for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And believe it or not, Mike, we could even actually see a return to a little bit of snow here by the end of the week. Now, granted, that's a long ways away.
Whoa, excuse me. I can't hear you.
Yeah,
You're breaking up.
Yeah, I know. It definitely looks like we may actually see a little bit of snow around here by the end of the week. But you know what? This time of the year, we get a little bit of snow, and it doesn't last long.
No, it doesn't.
I just want people to know that. Even though we're heading into spring, the pattern actually does turn quite a bit cooler by the middle and end of the week.
Well, you say we're getting cooler, so at the end of the week, what define cooler?
Well, yesterday we had highs in the upper 30s to low 40s right along the lakefront because the wind was off the lake almost all day. We're going to have similar weather conditions like that for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, where we just have this steady east wind. And the temperature, probably within about 5 or 10 miles of Lake Michigan, probably won't get above 40 degrees. There'll be a cold rain, and we could even see a little bit of wet snow. So this time of the year, I mean, average high is close to about 48, 49 degrees, and we'll see readings probably about 10 to 15 degrees below normal for that three-day period. So not so much for the overnight lows, but definitely for the afternoon highs. So much, much cooler weather coming in. But you know what, Mike? This is interesting. We have had, since the blizzard... back on February 1st and February 2nd, we've had a grand total of 6 inches of snow. That's it.
Six inches of snow? Is that what you said?
That's all we've had in the last, almost 6.5 weeks. And those 6 inches were basically these little teeny little storms that came through and produced a 1 to 2 inch there and a 1 to 2 inch there.
Mm-hmm.
Literally since that event, winter pretty much shut down. Even though we had some very cold weather for about a week or two following that blizzard, we have not had any snow for the month of March, and we typically average about 6 to 7 inches for March. It's amazing how we'll go down as having the fifth snowiest winter in the history of Chicago, but the last 6.5 to 8, well, the 7 weeks have basically been snow-free. So it's always kind of fun to look back at numbers. And there have been some winters where we got most of our snow in the second half of winter. I remember it was like 2008, 2009, both of those winters. It just seemed like it wouldn't end. It was just cold and snow and cold and snow in the second half of February into March. And that really is like, that's really adding insult to injury. Someone said to me, they go, she said, I really, really hate winter around here. I'm like, oh, it's not so bad. She goes, no, I hate the first week of winter, and the rest of it after that just totally sucks. And I thought to myself, well, that's kind of an interesting way of looking at it. This winter, oddly enough, even though we were ending up about 1.5 to 2 degrees below average and way above average snowfall, I always say it all depends on when you get the snow and how you get it. And we got basically almost 33% of our snow with one event, which is I think that's the best way to go about doing it.
And it was gone in 2 weeks.
It was basically
wasn't amazing. Yeah.
But you know what? I was up along the North Shore, along the lakefront, up around Wilmette Beach and Kenilworth. I just walked with the dog a little bit, and these were areas where the snow had piled up and the ice had piled up along the lakefront, and the beaches are very small up there, and they don't get a lot of sun. There were still piles of snow around because they've basically become glaciated,
mm-hmm.
and there's so much water compacted in there that's frozen. It's going to take forever to melt unless you actually go in there and broke them up. But, yeah, by and large, that snow was gone in about 10 days, which was really amazing.
Which is great because we didn't have the dibs markers on the streets for too long. Although, in my neighborhood, some of them were still out there. They're not in the street. They're just on the parkways now. It's like, could you guys just get rid of that little milk crate, please, and get it, or that chair, please? Get it out of here.
It's always nice when people bring their dining room furniture outside to get a parking space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So a little cooler. Long range, when do we actually start to warm up?
You know what? I don't think that there's anything like that in the cards for at least the next 2 to 3 weeks, only because the pattern has kind of tried to go back into a cooler one, but obviously when you start to do that after the first day of spring, it doesn't last too long. But it still looks like generally near or below normal conditions for the next 10 days. After that, kind of a wild card, because if you remember me saying this was back in the middle of February that I thought we were going to have a rather active late last week of February and the first 2 weeks of March. We did actually have a very active season, or at least very active storm pattern, but all the storms ended up going a little bit further north. So each time the long-range models tried to cool us down a little bit, they were cooling us down too much. So the storms were going up over the top of us, and we were getting these tremendous snowstorms from Minneapolis through Green Bay into the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where they'll probably get some snow out of the system today. Well, probably not today, most likely tonight and later on this week. And then the pattern has been very warm across the south, the southern plains, and into the southeast. So I always look at the trends of long-range models, not so much the specifics. So if I'm looking at these trends of these models continuing to try to keep us cool, I would probably go more so on the era of mild as opposed to cold. So we'll call it the next week and a half to be cooler than average, and I think once we get into April, probably above average. And I'm still looking for rather mild conditions here for May and also into June and July. And one of the reasons why I'm getting a little bit more confident on that is that the overall pattern across the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic Ocean is exhibiting one more so of like May and June rather than of March and April. And the Great Lakes are actually about 2 to 3 weeks ahead of time or ahead of schedule from losing almost all their ice. We haven't had a real true Arctic outbreak around here in a long time.
Yeah, it's true. So, and I like this because it's, as we've talked about in the show in the past, nice, gentle warm up. It's, nothing too extreme. You know, I don't want to see 85 right now.
No. But it was nice getting the upper 60s the other day because it was nice just going out and playing baseball and a little bit of a little bit of frisbee for about an hour or two, but no, nothing like that coming at us anytime soon. But definitely from showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Looks pretty good tomorrow. I think we'll dry out and then we get back into a very cool kind of rainy pattern for Tuesday and Wednesday. This will be a nice soaking rain this afternoon, but it should commence in about another hour or so.
And it's another way to keep people out of their gardens. If they're being rained on, they won't be messing around in there. All right.
Right. I know you hate the compacted soil. Right?
Yeah, I do. I hate that compaction. It's really tough to get rid of once you do it.
Yeah, we need to get you a shirt that says "I hate compacted soil."
Well, get in line. We've got the dog poo T-shirt that we've got to do.
What? I heard dirt.
Yeah.
The dog poo.
Dog droppings happen.
Droppings happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And other things. And then the compaction. And I hate compaction. All right.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
All right. Rick DeMaio, always a pleasure to have you here. You can go to DeMaioWeather.com or go to my website, MikeNovak.net, on the homepage. You will see Rick's smiling face, and you can get a great forecast there. And you on TV this week at all?
No, I did. I did 4 days of Channel 2 this past week, and I think the line of the week I was working, I was doing the 11 o'clock show with Harry Porterfield and Roseanne Tate, and they did a story about how there was a shortage of sushi coming from Japan over to the United States, and Harry Porterfield in his velvety voice goes, "There's no eel with your meal."
There's no eel with your meal?
There's no eel with your... And these old-timers, it's great. You know, Harry's 83 years old, and he says this joke, and they know it's funny before they say it. And you always know when someone says something that's going to be funny, but they know it's funny, but they're not telling you it's funny. It's because they don't laugh at it. But when you hear people tell you the joke, and they start laughing at it, but Harry just delivered it deadpan, and it was right on.
There's no eel with your meal.
With your meal. There you go. Someone you should know.
Your eel in your meal is someone you should know.
These days, you better know.
All right, Rick, sure. I will talk to you next week.
Okay, see you then.
Bye-bye. Spring begins today, as you just heard, at exactly 6:21 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Can somebody tell me exactly why we're on daylight time in March? But I digress. The point is that things are starting to grow. There are crocuses blooming in my yard, the ones the squirrels didn't get to. And if you feel like you already missed spring, some people do, even though it won't begin for another 10 hours or so, you need the March-April issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. You definitely want to pick this up because you get two publications for the price of one. Not only do you get the Midwest's Best Guide to Zone 5 Gardening, that's the magazine, you also receive the Annual Resource Guide, a separate booklet that has information about garden centers, seeds, classes, tools, and a whole lot more. There's also in this issue, a story about repotting indoor plants. Spring is a good time to do that. And a lesson in the plants that are likely to be thugs who take over your garden. I don't even remember what I wrote, but my column is on the inside back page, and it's probably brilliant. You can purchase Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on
I'm sorry, I couldn't. I tried.
I know. That's okay.
It is brilliant.
I'm glad you laugh at my jokes. I'm not even Harry Porterfield.
Right, exactly. It's like you're not laughing, but I am.
You can purchase Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over Chicago. Better yet, get a subscription. Call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600, or go to chicagolandgardening.com.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. If you've been a faithful steward of the earth, you might also get paid for it. According to realtors, trees can account for as much as 10% of a property's value. So take care of them and consider having a certified arborist evaluate the trees before you sell your home or before you buy one. A good inspection involves assessing the trees from top to bottom, analyzing everything that could affect their health, and determining whether they pose a threat to property and safety. An arborist from the Care of Trees will look for disease and harmful insects, will gauge the health and structural integrity of the trees, and will then present a written report noting any problems and recommending corrective measures. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at plantskid.com. Proven plant protection, guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Snappy J Dog has posted on her blog site and
dig it yourself garden.
Yeah, about the dog poo. So I'm going to link that, or get Kathleen to link that to the homepage. She's already added the latest part of the controversy. Just go to MikeNovak.net and you'll, towards the bottom on the right hand side, all the links, and you can just follow one after another. Second hour of the show, we're talking organic lawn care with Chip Osborne. So stick around for that and give us a call.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
And now...
And now...
40...
Can we just play this?
I know. It just gets you going, doesn't it?
That's right.
It's like the Rocky theme.
Michael Jordan just walked in.
I wish. What gardening question would you ask Michael Jordan? Who do you hire to do yours?
Exactly. There you go. See? It's kind of self-explanatory.
Right?
It's a question that asks itself. Hey, listen. I'm glad I got an email from Tom Shepard. He said, thanks, Mike, for giving our cause to defeat coal gasification issue, the publicity you did. Hey, I was happy to do it. I mean, it was the right thing. For those of you folks who weren't aware of it, earlier in the week, Governor Quinn, after receiving thousands of cards, calls, and letters, vetoed Senate Bill 3388. Woohoo! Where's that? I got these. And in fact,
one for the good guys.
Isn't that amazing? See, this is what comes when you have a progressive governor.
Yep.
This wouldn't have happened in Wisconsin.
Nope.
This wouldn't have happened in Indiana.
Nope.
Wouldn't have happened in Michigan.
Nuh-uh.
Happened in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And Governor Quinn vetoed both SB 1927 and SB 3388, the Leucadia and Power Holdings coal gasification facilities. And my congratulations to the governor for doing the right thing and stepping up. And Tom Shepard wrote to me, he said that he had a letter. He wrote a note to Governor Pat Quinn, and it's a good thing to write to the governor, you know, not just to complain, but say thank you.
Yes, that carries more weight, honestly, than people realize, that you support their efforts and stuff.
And so here's a letter that Tom wrote. He said, "Dear Governor Quinn, I'm in Springfield today to attend the Illinois River Coordinating Council meeting to once again remind the state and to inform our new lieutenant governor that the Southeast Environmental Task Force and thousands of citizens on Chicago's far southeast side still yearn for a rational and reasonable access to the Calumet River for purposes of recreation and environmental education. I hope that you remember your early days as lieutenant governor when we presented plans to you back around 2002-2003. But while I'm here, I couldn't pass up the opportunity to thank you abundantly for your recent veto of Senate Bill 3388, Leucadia Coal Gasification Bill. Residents from the southeast side, environmentalists, parents, teachers and students, union workers and average citizens rallied and spoke loud and clear that we no longer want only dirty, polluting industries to locate in our midst. You visited our locale on a number of occasions, and the people have grown to know you, respect you, and appreciate you. Once again, you've shown yourself to be a man of principle and have done the right thing. Again, thank you very much for your veto action on March 14th. Sincerely, Tom Shepard, board member, Southeast Environmental Task Force." So good for you, Tom, for writing to the governor and patting him on the back. He needs to know that that was the right thing to do. I mean, we get so it's so hard to fight for the environment because it gets overwhelmed by the so many other things, the economy, but it is part of
there's so many elements to it as well. It's easy to just get caught up in the cost because if it's not the soil, it's the air. If it's the air, it's the water. If it's, you know, the styrofoam, the et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
But people need to realize that this is part of the economy. If we have healthier people, they're not. We're not spending as much money to take care of them.
Yes, exactly.
So that's the way that works. So congratulations to all the people who worked so hard on that. While we're on the subject on the south side, I got a note from Washington Park Conservancy. Mike, please let people know about our lecture this Saturday, March 26th, from 10 to noon. It is the Garden Tool Sharpening Workshop at Washington Park Fieldhouse, 5531 South King Drive, Arts and Crafts Room, and Master Gardener Don Necrosius is going to be teaching that garden tool sharpening workshop again next Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon at the Washington Park Fieldhouse, 5531 South King Drive, Arts and Crafts Room. So I will get that out. And in just a second, we are going to be talking to Chip Osborne with Osborne Organics. I do want to remind you that we're following the lining up all the articles on my homepage, MikeNovak.net. And I'm hoping next week that we can talk about some of this stuff, whether it be the dog poo, whether it's the wood chips, and whether they rob the soil of nitrogen. Who'd have thunk that this could be controversial? Who'd have thunk that? All right, it's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Let's go to line one and bring in Chip Osborne. How you doing, Chip?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Fine. And you're, of course, East Coast-based. Where are you today, and what's the weather like?
Well, today I'm on the East Coast in Marblehead, Massachusetts, about 15 miles north of Boston. We've got a bright, sunny day in the mid-40s, so a little bit of a touch of spring out here.
Yeah, a little bit. And that's what we're getting here. It's so far, it has been nice and gentle, and I was just talking to my meteorologist, Rick DeMaio, about that. He says it's going to get cooler at the end of the week, so, you know, no 85-degree days in sight, which is probably not a bad thing, you know, in terms of turf, too, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the worst situation is to get, you know, big spikes in temperature where we get really warm all of a sudden and bounce back and forth, so... You know, for our cool season turf grasses that you have in the Chicago area and that we have here in the Northeast, a nice steady progression into spring is exactly what we look for.
Chip is going to be speaking this Wednesday, and I say that you're sort of the rock star of this conference. The Natural Lawn Care for Landscape Professionals and Municipalities at Oakton Community College in Des Plaines. And it's an all-day thing, 8 a.m. to 4:30. I'm doing the keynote and participating in a seminar. But really, Chip is the man. If we're going to talk a little bit about organic lawn care or natural lawn care, however you want to call it, give us a call, 773-838-9278. If you're interested in this and you have a question for Chip, and it does say it's for landscape professionals and municipalities, but the other thing is we're also looking at people who are with homeowner associations, and those kinds of decisions are often made en masse. You've got to go to boards, you got to go to committees. You can get people who are obstructionists and say, no, I don't want this because it, you know, organic care is going to cost too much, or I don't understand it. I mean, what sort of roadblocks do you see, Chip, in dealing with people like this?
Well, we're in that type of a situation. Everything you said is exactly what, you know, what we run up against. You know, very often in some of the residential communities and some of the homeowner associations, there will be a, you know, a group of people that have, you know, determined through their own education that many of the synthetic products, being those synthetic water-soluble fertilizers and typically chemical control products, which are pesticides, that, you know, that have certain environmental and human health issues involved with them. And then that part of the discussion comes to the table where they would approach their, you know, trustees or board of directors and look at alternative strategies, try to bring that discussion to the table about alternative lawn care strategies that are much more friendly for the environment and certainly safer from the human health perspective.
You know, Chip, I think it's odd that we've gotten to the point where doing something safely and nature's way is the alternative care and not the main care. Doesn't that seem a little weird?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And what we talk about with, you know, organic or natural lawn care, it's not anything new. It's taking us back to the old days, if you will, when we keep in mind that all of these synthetics and pesticides are a direct result of the Second World War, so they're very new in our history, but we have been taught now that our horticultural systems need to be managed this way. But in fact, they are biocides, and many of them are poisons in their own right. And yes, it is very interesting now that we have to have this discussion to take poisons out of the system and sort of go back to growing in the way that we did previously.
The way I look at it, Chip, I really try to hard to get this message out, and I hope that anybody who's listening that has a lawn will understand. I'm talking to you, especially if you go to the store in the spring and you buy a thing called Weed and Feed. And I always say that there's a reason it's called Weed and Feed, and that's because nobody would buy it if they called it poison and fertilizer. But Weed and Feed sounds kind of cute.
Well, that most of those products that, you know, that we typically buy for, you know, our lawns and gardens, it's very clever marketing, and they are named with names that, you know, make it sound like it's a relatively innocuous material. But when we look at those Weed and Feed products, and in most of those, 2,4-D, which was a component of Agent Orange, is still put on our backyards where toddlers can go out a couple of days later and roll around. You know, it is very clever marketing that lets us line up at the cash register to buy poisons.
You know, and I want to reiterate that. I want folks listening, in case they thought they heard wrong, and you said Agent Orange, and you did say Agent Orange, and you need to understand that what we kill weeds with, the 2,4-D, is the most widely used herbicide on what they call the non-agricultural sector, and we use it in our lawns. And if you took 2,4-D, which is that chemical, and there's another one, and 2,4-D kills broadleaf weeds like dandelions and those types of things. And 2,4-5-T is another chemical, and it's it kills woody plants. And it basically, if you took those, you put them in your garage, and you piled them together, you'd have Agent Orange. And one half of it is what you're putting on your lawn. And I want to get that across to people, because these are not benign substances. They are powerful chemicals. Why do you think your weeds die? I wonder why, you know, what people think if they don't realize they're using a poison. You know, I'm wondering what they, how they think the weeds die. So that's one end of things. That's one side of things. But the other side that I try to get across is the use of synthetic fertilizers, which is a different issue altogether, because this is where we're feeding our plants, and in this case, it's turf or grass or lawn, whatever you want to call it. What's the difference in the organic approach from the synthetic approach, Chip?
Well, the synthetic approach, again, was developed in World War II with the first synthetic fertilizers that delivered nitrogen were bombs, and ammonium nitrate is a bomb-making material and a highly water-soluble source of nitrogen. We then took ammonia and further reacted that in hydrous ammonia and came up with urea. Urea is the typical fertilizer that is used in the synthetic industry at this point in time for our lawns. It's estimated that only 35% of the nitrogen when applied to our lawns actually benefits the grass if it's in this form, and 65% either goes into groundwater runoff or volatilization back to the atmosphere depending upon the temperature. So we have a very highly water-soluble product that begins to work in 2 days after contact with soil moisture. And at 7 to 10 days, maximum release is happening, and 4 or 5 weeks later, it's all gone. When we have a natural organic fertilizer, that nitrogen is not water-soluble, but it is in the organic form, and it takes certain organisms in the soil to break it down, to mineralize it, and that organic form is then converted to a plant-available form and is slowly and steadily taken up by the roots of the grass with no runoff whatsoever.
And I think what we need to point out also is, you know, you buy that bag of fertilizer and you've got the NPK on the bag. This is the nutrients in a bag, and it's nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and when you see those three numbers. And on a bag of lawn fertilizer, the first number, the nitrogen, is often going to be really high. It might be 28 or 30, something like that, and that's by weight, the percentage of that nutrient that's in that bag of fertilizer. And as you're saying, 35% might be absorbed by the plants?
That's exactly right, yep. So 35% benefits the grass.
You know, and people think they've got to have that high nitrogen because it's going to jumpstart their lawn. Well, it might green it up, but it's not necessarily doing anybody else any good. I mean, as you say, it's going into the air, it's going into the water. And the problem I have is that folks do not read and follow label directions. They'll look at that and they'll say, hey, you know what? Some is good, more must be better. So they, you know, I'll throw a little bit extra. So, and given that only 35% of it goes into the plant anyway, that's really not good, is it?
That's not good at all. And that mentality, Mike, you're exactly right, that the average homeowner operates on the fact that twice as much grows things twice as fast or kills twice as many things twice as quickly. So the ability, you know, for us to be subjected to situations where more goes into a spreader or a sprayer than should be ultimately ends up to be an extremely harmful situation for the environment, particularly for you folks out there, you know, in the lakes region, because none of this material stays where it's put. It all finds its way into groundwater or bodies of water, and that is really one of the big picture things that we're looking at naturally, nationally, is how we are adversely affecting, you know, a lot of our sensitive environmental situations.
That's Chip Osborne. He's with Osborne Organics. He's going to be speaking this Wednesday at the Natural Lawn Care Workshop at Oakton College in Des Plaines, and a bunch of great organizations are behind it. The Illinois Landscape Contractors Association, Midwest Ecological Landscaping Association, Safer Pest Control Project, Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, Sea Grant Great Lakes Network, and the University of Illinois Extension. There are tickets available. You know, if you're thinking, if you're one of those people that I talked about, landscape company, turf manager, homeowner association, or public employee. I'm especially looking at the homeowner association. You know, if you have an influence in your association, your condo or your townhouse, on how the lawn is treated, this might be a good conference for you to learn, because then now you can back up everything you bring to the board with science. Just by listening to a guy like Chip and some of the other people, wonderful speakers that are going to be at this. So I would urge you to take a look at this. Go to my website and take a look at the links I've got there, and perhaps attend this conference on Wednesday. Chip, do you mind if we take a phone call?
Not at all.
Okay, let's go to line two. And Rachel, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Oh, hi. I removed some old overgrown junipers and things like that, and so I have some areas that I need to seed, and I've won with grass. I've never seeded before. I don't use chemicals in the lawn that's here. So I was wondering if is there a grass variety that I should be buying that's, I don't know, sturdier or something, because I'm not going to use chemicals.
What do you think, Chip?
Once these junipers are removed, will you end up having a sunny location?
I have both, actually. I have the front is sun, the side is shade.
Is it all shade or is it part shade? How many hours of sun would you say the side gets?
Oh, on the side, it's probably, it's all till mid-afternoon sun.
Okay, so we're talking about, it probably sounds like about 4 hours.
Yeah, at least, yeah.
Okay, Chip?
In that situation, the first thing that you want to do is to take a little bit of soil and have a soil test run to make sure that your soils now will be conducive for grass where they supported an evergreen in the past. And there are very different soils that would be used for evergreen material as opposed to turf grass. So they're very, very different, from the balancing point of view. So you would get that soil test and have that done. I would think that you probably would be looking at the species of turf grass known as the fescues. The fescues have the widest range of adaptability, so they will traverse the spectrum between sun and moderate shade and provide a very good quality lawn.
And a fescue doesn't take traffic quite as well as a Kentucky bluegrass, but as you say, it will it will grow in those particular conditions pretty well, right, Chip?
If it's a low traffic area, you would look at the fine fescues. If it's a higher traffic area where it will get some wear and tear, then you would be looking at the turf-type tall fescues. Both can take some degree of shade, the tall fescues being much more durable.
Okay. Go ahead, Rachel.
And is there something besides what I would normally put down? I mean, is there something I need to, well, once the soil test comes back, let's say that's okay as far as, acidity and stuff, then do I just, I mean, the soil's pretty good here. I'm not in a real clay or sandy area of Evanston.
Yeah.
So do I need to amend it with some compost or something?
Well, the ideal situation, if you have that ability, would be to amend it with a well-aged compost, assuming that we balance soil chemistry and there are no deficiencies and the pH is in the proper range. The introduction of good compost to that system, either with bulk material or purchasing at a garden center as bagged material, would be entirely beneficial and would dramatically improve that living portion of the soil. And then at the time of installation, whether from seeding operations, then you would begin to introduce a natural organic fertilizer as that method of broadcast a granular product to address the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium levels. You should always be looking at no phosphorus fertilizers. Grass doesn't need a lot of phosphorus. So if we have a soil test that substantiates it's already in the soil, by all means, we should really look to try to buy product that doesn't have phosphorus in it.
That's a really good point there, Chip. I think more and more we're discovering that, phosphorus persists in the soil, and we don't really need to add that to our soils. Thank you so much, Rachel, for calling. I appreciate it, you have a great Sunday, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Bye. I'm talking to Chip Osborne. You said we had somebody in line three.
No.
Okay.
It was Santo, the bus driver.
Oh.
He's driving the bus, so he couldn't hold. But he was curious with, is it urea, the nitrogen fertilizer? Or
Yeah.
Can you use that as an ice melt in the wintertime, like, you know, when your sidewalk ice is over, and then not worry about the runoff when it melts?
I'll tell you what, Chip, hold that thought. We'll tease people with that, find out whether we can do that. I need to take care of a little business, and I'll get right back to you, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. It's Chip Osborne from Osborne Organics on the phone. And we'll get the answer to the urea question in just a second. But first, are deer and rabbits treating your yard as an all-you-can-eat buffet? Cut them off already. Try some Bobex products. They're environmentally safe, meaning they're harmless to wildlife, including aquatic species, as well as humans and pets. They don't contain petrochemical or synthetic compounds, and they're made from all natural and recycled ingredients. Bobex repels critters using both the odor and taste of meat meal, fish oil, putrescent eggs. I always love that part, you know, but it works. Putrescent eggs, garlic, and other naturally occurring ingredients. And they work effectively throughout all the seasons. Now, don't look for Bobex products in a box store. Look for them in a Bobex store, B-O-B-B-E-X. And that means your local independent garden center. If you don't see Bobex at your favorite garden center, you can call Bobex and they'll check it out for you. But you can find Bobex products at Platte Hill Nursery in Carpentersville, Illinois, Gomez Greens in Chicago, and Alternative Garden Supply in Cary, Illinois. Remember, plants thrive and survive with Bobex.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Today's the first day of spring. Comes at 6:21 Central Time. And you're ready to start digging in the dirt. Hold back. Don't get too crazy yet. The dirt's still soft. I'm going to get that T-shirt made that says, I hate compaction. But Sid's Greenhouses is ready to help ease those cravings. Their shipment of spring bulbs has arrived with dozens of new varieties available. This week, you'll save a dollar on every package when you buy four or more. It's also the time to get seeds going, and Sid still has a good selection of all the best varieties, including USDA Organics. To help you out, Sid's has scheduled a seed starting seminar and workshop at both of their stores next Saturday, March 26. Get all the details at sidsonline.com. And if you don't have a yard to plant in, well, consider an Earthbox, the world's most revolutionary garden system. Use it to grow all sorts of vegetables or flowers with double the yield of conventional gardens, with less fertilizer, less water, and virtually no effort. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bowling Brook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard. For more information or to join their free email list for news, garden tips, and sale information, visit SIDSonline.com. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I have Chip Osborne on the line from Osborne Organics. And as I said, he's going to be in town this Wednesday at a seminar that's being put on by a bunch of great organizations, including Safer Pest Control Project and MELA. And it's a place to learn. And I've been to these before. Chip, I saw you speak a couple of years ago when we had a two-day version of this. Can you imagine? I know a lot of people out there are thinking, oh, my goodness, how could you talk about this for 2 days? I thought it was pretty fascinating myself, but, you know, that's what we do, right?
Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah, in 2 days we go into great depth on why we do what we do and how we do it. But and we could actually talk for several days about the subject.
Well, and let's answer that question, because and before you go, I want to talk about the biology in the soil. But let's get back to the urea question. You know, could you use nitrogen fertilizer for ice melt and then have it benefit the soil?
There is, urea has been associated with melting ice because of the nature of the way that product works, along with, you know, ammonium nitrates and ammonium sulfates in solution. Urea generally is regarded as probably being the least effective of the ice melt products out there. But what would happen is it would not be beneficial to the system as runoff, because it's coming at a time when grass is dormant, and it, you know, there is actually no grass there to take it in. It's just going to go right into soils and eventually work its way into groundwater as a contaminant.
Which do you prefer? I know there are different kinds of ice melt products out there, like potassium chloride and calcium chloride. Obviously, sodium chloride is very harsh, and then can lead to problems in your lawn. What do you tend to prefer?
The calcium chlorides are on those new generation of ice melts that do the job, and because we know that calcium is a beneficial component of soils, and specifically for growing a lot of our ornamentals and grass included, calcium at reasonably good levels in soils is an entirely desirable situation. So we should always be, you know, seeking out those more friendly products for ice melting. Any of the really salt-based products create extremely harsh conditions in soil that, as spring approaches, will be very harmful to the organisms of which you just spoke. Those organisms do not like high salt-based environments, so that we do everything we can in the world of organics to minimize the sodiums and salts in soil.
Well, let's go there for a second, because I know that the whole the tenets of natural or organic lawn care have to do with the biology. I think for a long time we forgot about the biology in the soil, especially with turf grass. We're going to load it up with nitrogen and other nutrients. You know, we thought we could solve everything in the world with NPK, and that was all we needed to worry about, and water it in and you know, walk away from it. But now we're discovering that the biology is at least as important. So how does that play in to what the methods that you use?
Well, our strategies all begin with the soil. There is no secret to that, and that is the fundamental premise upon which all natural management is based. When we understand that all of the grasses that we are growing for, you know, our ornamental lawns and sports fields are non-native species, and we have been taught by the use of synthetics to grow them as a monoculture, we're fundamentally doing a very difficult thing there, and we're doing it all chemically. Clover was part of all grass seed mixes in the old days because it naturally fixes nitrogen and literally fertilized the grass for us. Somewhere in the late 19th century, you know, it was identified that nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium are the magic three that all plant material responds to. So our agricultural fertility programs and now lawn care has fundamentally been centered on that. We need to really understand that the biomass, the living organisms, the bacteria, the fungi, the protozoa, the nematodes, are fundamentally responsible for all nutrient management and nutrient release. A very predatory relationship down there, and when we make soils healthy and create good organic matter and then good healthy communities of organisms, one organism consumes another, and nitrogen is directly made available to our grass plants or vegetables or geraniums, trees, whatever it is we're trying to grow. So we now take an approach that would be considered to be a feed-the-soil approach as opposed to the synthetic feeding-the-plant approach.
Which is great. Yeah, you're feeding the soil, and the soil feeds your plants. And these, as you say, these organisms down there, microorganisms, and even macroorganisms are all at work, and they provide nitrogen in a slower way and in less quantity too. I mean, there's not as much, and that's part of the whole deal too, right?
Absolutely. You know, we know that we want just a very slow, sustained supply of nitrogen that is made available little by little over extended periods of time by the organisms and will clearly meet all of the needs of our turf grass. That practice and principle, I guess you might call it, is totally different than the rapid release and the excesses that are introduced to the system through the use of the urea product.
All right, well, I'm going to let you answer one more question, then I've got to let you go because it relates to this and organisms. And let's go to line two, and it's J.R. Rizzi. How you doing, J.R.?
Hello, Mike.
You got a question about biosolids, huh?
Yeah, we've been working with the Metropolitan Water Reclamation for many years as far as doing some top dressing mixes and stuff with biosolids, and was just wondering Chip's opinion on them as far as getting them accepted. You know, we had at least in the Midwest or in Chicago, we had a bad thing probably, you know, 20, 25 years ago with the New Earth and everybody pushed it, and it didn't work right. And now, you know, we've got some great products. But just wondering his feelings on biosolids for turf.
Well, biosolids as a compost material that is the byproduct or the end result of water treatment in a true organic program, we don't accept those. There are issues with them that we certainly would love to see addressed and rectified at some point in time, but the ability of heavy metals to pass through this type of a process, as well as pharmaceutical waste passing through, we're now realizing that some of these things cannot be taken out in parts of that particular process and then passed through to the end result. There is, you know, probably more work been done with trying to address the heavy metal issue, which is a direct result of how much industry pressure goes into the waste stream. The issue of pharmaceuticals passing through is one that is relatively new in the last several years, but is an identifiable problem. All of us would love to be able to embrace the use of biosolids as a way of being able to, you know, recycle and return things back to, you know, back to our systems. But at this point, I think there's still some questions that are still yet to be answered with the material.
That's it's a great question, JR. And as Chip says, more research into that. And thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Very good. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Chip, thank you so much. Great having you on the program, and I will see you on Wednesday. And at some point, I think we should talk some more, get you back, and maybe answer some more questions for people about natural lawn care. Because one of the things you do, you work with athletic fields. I know you in your talks, you talk a lot about huge swaths of lawn, not just somebody's front yard or backyard, but doing it the natural way because our kids play on that stuff, and that's really important.
Yeah, very important. I think probably the largest focus of my work, other than training industry professionals, is working with, you know, large acreages of turf, particularly sports fields, public parks, you know, national parks, state parks, all of those areas that we regularly frequent and are trying to create just, you know, more safer conditions, you know, from the environmental and human health perspective, but, you know, at the same time really developing strategies that will produce high-quality turf.
And that's the end result. You need that. If people don't think they're getting high-quality turf, they won't go for it. So it's important that you succeed, Chip. It really is. We need you, and we need you to do this well.
Well, that certainly is our goal, and the strategies that we've put together in creating some of these systems approaches that we're working on. You know, so far so good. You know, we have been able to do what we said we're going to do, and we keep striving to, you know, improve that.
Okay. Chip, great having you on the program. I'll see you on Wednesday.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What do Ball Horticultural, the Lincoln Park Zoo, Elmhurst College, and Motorola have in common? Well, they've all been partners with WRD Environmental, an ecological consulting firm that has created sustainable landscapes since 1997. WRD Environmental designs, installs, manages, and consults on projects and programs that conserve natural resources, promote sustainability, cultivate biodiversity, and restore nature's balance. But just as important, WRD is a good partner, whether it's managing a large-scale conservation development or cultivating a community greening initiative, clients trust WRD to anticipate, prevent, and solve potential problems. WRD Environmental takes a comprehensive approach to every project, keeping the overall objectives in mind and building teams along the way to achieve the best results. WRD is all about innovation and execution with unparalleled focus. So when you're looking for a partner to help your business literally change the world around it, choose WRD. WRD Environmental, where the built and natural environments meet.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
All we are saying is give plants a chance with Dr. Earth Potting Soils. Packed with Dr. Earth's probiotics blend, which helps to break down organic materials and make nutrients available to your plants, these potting soils will improve your soil's health. Dr. Earth potting soils can be used indoors and outdoors in raised beds, mixed with existing garden soil, added to existing soil in containers or pots, or used on its own. Give Dr. Earth a try. 35 million satisfied customers, can't be wrong. Visit DrEarth.com to find a dealer near you. And I have a note here that I want to address. Deer, neighborhood rabbits, squirrels, skunks, deer, chipmunks, and raccoons, stay away from my plants. That's the message that Bonide Repels All Animal Repellent will send to these ravenous little critters. Repels All is an all-natural repellent that uses smell, taste, and irritation to keep pests away. Unlike other repellents, Repels All has no unpleasant odor and is effective for up to 2 months. It's so effective that your satisfaction is guaranteed. Repels All natural formula can be applied to trees, shrubs, perennials, and around edible crops. It also works to prevent animals from chewing on fences and structures. Repels All is available in concentrate, ready to use, and ready to spray liquid formulations, and in easy to spread granules. Look for Repels All products at these fine stores: Kinnish Village Greenhouse in Palatine, Prestige Nursery Garden Center in West Chicago, Tholins Garden Center in Bourbonnais, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid, or download it directly to your computer's desktop. All right, is this the one we're playing? Okay, so we're queuing stuff up here.
But it's a great escape.
Pick the wrong CD.
I put the wrong
CD. It was in CD 1 and you hit CD 2.
That's why we couldn't. CD. I did. All right, forget it. Well, cue the key.
You need to let me sit there.
No.
Yes.
You're never sitting here.
You need to let me sit there, and this won't happen.
You are never sitting in this chair. Maybe, when Beth's here, you get to sit in this.
I get to sit in the chair.
You get to sit in this chair. All right, let's go to line.
Don't you want to go somewhere?
Do you want to cue that up?
I will. Okay. I've got two really good songs for you that are pertinent to what you're talking about,
You said you had one for the home show.
I do. You have to refresh your that one's in the system.
All right.
See how technical we are here, folks? And how ready we are? We prep and prep and prep. Best ideas come 5 seconds after you needed it.
And what's the number?
MU23.
Oh, this one. Okay.
And you got to cue it 52 seconds in for the home show.
How am I going to do that?
Can
I just start it at
the
top?
Yes, everybody likes the song. It's a good song. The song is called Home.
Ah, okay.
But they don't start singing about home until 52 seconds in.
Got it. And in the meantime, let's bring in Dennis Carroll from the Naperville Home Show. How you doing, Dennis?
How you doing, Mike?
I'm great. And the home show's next week for two consecutive days. Tell us where it is and what you're doing.
Well, we're going to hold this home show at North Central College, on the campus of North Central College, in their recreation center. It's going to be next Saturday and Sunday, March 25th and 6th. The North Central campus is in the center of downtown Naperville. But the facility that they have is this building. This rec center is a brand new facility. It's an eco-friendly building, and we're real happy to put this on down there. The address for it is 440 South Brainerd.
And actually, Dennis, I have the link and the address on MikeNovak.net. And go to this week's show. And the reason I do is because I'm speaking there twice at 1 o'clock on Saturday and then 1 o'clock again on Sunday.
Yes.
To get some gardening information and talk to folks and answer questions, I will be over there. Maybe we'll even talk about doggy do in the backyard. I don't know if you were listening earlier, but it seems to be a controversy on my show.
Yes, it was on the TV, too. It's a popular thing at this time of the year when everything melts. So.
Oh, well, we had a different issue. But
okay.
So who else is going to be? I mean, what kind of setups do you have, and what kind of people are going to be at the show?
Well, we have we have about six landscapers that'll be able to answer questions on anything you have or get ideas from. They'll carry a multitude of things beyond brick paving or doing water ponds and outdoor patio grills, pergolas. We have deck builders and gazebo builders, landscape lighting. But beyond that, in the home area, we're going to have basement refinishers, granite and countertops. We're going to have many kitchen people that will either do custom kitchens or refacing, power generators, tankless water heating type of things. So a lot of things for interior and the exterior of your home.
Yeah, and obviously there's quite an emphasis on green as well, and going green and being more eco-friendly.
Correct. And I'm, even with siding and roofing, it sounds like they're drab type of. They're not as popular as some of the more kitchens and things. But pretty much nowadays, all the vendors, no matter what categories they're carrying and doing with windows and so forth, are eco-friendly products. And there are still some tax credits out there for some of these products and services.
Oh, that's good. Now, do you have information on that? If people come in and they ask about that.
I can let them know I'll be there. I can let them know I'll be there all weekend. I can let them know which dealers would carry that kind of thing. Certainly we're having Owens Corning being there, and those kind of products are certainly up to, state-of-the-art type of, products for that eco-friendly thing. Sure.
So when do the doors open?
The doors open on Saturday, the 26th, from 10 to 6, and on Sunday from 10 to 5.
And, of course, it's at 440 South Brainerd Street in Naperville. They say it's North Central College, and they say it's in the new Residential Hall Recreation Center, and new happens to be in quotes. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's not really new, but it's old.
No, it's about a year old. But,
okay.
it's an eco-friendly building itself. It's a beautiful facility, beautiful campus. The admission, it's free admission for the public and free parking. And
excellent.
They could, if the public needs to know more, they could go to our website, which is homeshowpros.com, and they'd be able to get some more information.
And I actually have a link to that on my website, but you can go straight there to homeshowpros.com, or you can go to MikeNovak.net, this week's show, and you'll see the Naperville Home Showcase. You can click on that, and I even have a link to the directions to get there. Dennis Carroll, I will see you next Saturday over at the home show.
At 1 o'clock on Saturday, we're looking forward to seeing you, Mike. Thank you very much.
I'm looking forward to it, too. Have a great week, okay?
Thank you, too, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
It's the Mike Novak Show, and in just a couple of seconds here, we're going to go and do the good growing segment with David Cleverton of Knick Knick. farm in Caledonia, Illinois. I know that many of you who listen to my show are worried that I don't get enough time off. You tune in week after week, and what do you hear? Me. Well, that's not healthy for me or for you. So I'm taking some time off next year from... That soon,
I'm never
huh?
gonna get in the chair.
You're never getting. I'll take some time off before then. All right. From February 25th to March 3rd, 2012, I'll be on the Norwegian Cruise Line's Norwegian Sun to visit the Caribbean destinations of Nassau, St. Thomas, San Juan, Great Stirrup Cay, and more, and I want you to come with me. We'll be exploring spectacular Zone 11 gardens on some of the most iconic tropical islands on the Northern Hemisphere. I will be your genial host for this excursion, and I'll share my insights about Midwest gardening along the way. Believe me, we're going to have a great time, and I hope you'll be on board. Now, there are a couple of ways you can get more information. You can call CruiseWorks at 800-876-6664, 800-876-6664, or log on at cruise-works.com, or just write to me, mike@mikenovak.net, and I'll send you all of the information you need. We're going to take a cruise together next year.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at plantskid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Hokie Smokes, spring is here, so what should you be doing for your trees now? Well, before they leaf out, take a good look at your trees. Are there hanging branches, split bark, or other obvious signs of damage? Is there frost and freeze damage from this winter, or are there dead branches that you've known about for years that you finally want removed? Also, check the mulch around the base of your tree. Does it look a little thin? Do you want to expand it this year and take out a little more lawn? That's always a good idea for your tree. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or give them a call, 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. This is what we had all that frou-frou about.
It was about dirt.
I can't even understand the lyrics.
He said digging in the dirt. It's Peter Gabriel.
I know that.
Where's Joe when I need him?
I don't know where he is. Let's go to line one and bring in David Cleverton from Kinnickinnick Farm in Caledonia. How you doing, David?
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, and here we are. First day of spring. And you have an organic farm up that way, and what's happening on the first day of spring at the farm?
Thunderstorms.
Oh, really? You've got some thunderstorms up there.
Big-time thunderstorms right now.
Yeah, you and I chatted just a little bit yesterday, and you said this is the time of year when it's still muddy.
Yeah, it's still mud season out here. You can't walk across the field without sinking in 2 or 3 inches into the soil.
So that means that since that's happening, what do you do to occupy your time at this time of year?
Well, we pray for sun and wind during the day to dry it out, and then we are spending the rest of the day, good part of the day, in the greenhouses, starting seeds and potting on plants, getting ready to set them out later on in mid-April or so.
So speaking of seeds, you grow a lot of vegetables. What's the size of your farm again?
Well, the farm itself is about 115 acres, and we devote about 30 of it to the vegetables, 10 in production, 10 in rotation, and then 10 for expansion.
And that you still, that gives you plenty of space to grow a lot of vegetables, which you take where? Where do you sell most of them?
And we sell to restaurants in Chicago, and then we go to two farmers markets, the Green City Market on Wednesday, which is the market that a lot of the chefs shop at, and then the Evanston Farmers Market on Saturday in Evanston.
Now, I know you've been doing this since 1994, and that's really not very long time ago, but in terms of organics, it is, because you told me an interesting story about being one of the first in the area to go organic. What was that like in 1994?
Yeah, there weren't many organic farmers around here, and our first year selling at a market was in Rockford, and I put up a sign that said organic produce, and people would walk by and point at it and say, "Hey, that's the organic guy," and they just keep on walking. It was like a disincentive to. So I took it down.
Say, you know what? I'm going to make you healthy, but you're not even going to know it.
It was like a Lake Wobegon thing, you know, like, what does he think he's better than we are? What's the matter with all of our pesticides and herbicides? And
so, in terms of organics, what were you doing then, and what are you doing now in terms of fertility? How did you make your soil fertile?
We plant a lot of cover crops, grass legume cover crops. We also buy in, and have been doing this for a while, composted the chicken litter from some egg laying operations north of us in Wisconsin. But now we've introduced chickens to our farm, and we'll grow between 500 and 1,000 broilers, and we have a moderate-sized laying flock, and we move those around the farm, and the function of the chickens is to fertilize the fields.
That's you're closing the loop, kind of, so to speak.
We're trying to build on-farm nutrient cycles now, and we've got some sheep here, and we will be expanding our sheep herd this year. And so the idea is the chickens clean up the insects, fertilize the ground, the sheep keep it in trim, and then we come along, plow it down, and plant the vegetables.
David, that makes too much sense. Come on. You could do it with chemicals, couldn't you?
Well, it's like trying to farm with nature propelling you along rather than nature trying to defeat you. That's sort of my idea of what organic farming should be.
And has it been successful for you?
Well, we're still around, and it's been over 15 years. So you don't get rich doing this, but you can make a living at it.
I say the same thing about radio.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's great. So, what kind of vegetables are you selling, and what do you consider a favorite crop of you? I mean, I know farmers, they like to grow all kinds of things, but is there anything that you particularly like growing?
Well, the ones that make money, primarily. and there was a very smart farmer up in Minnesota years ago who said he had a CSA. He said he had an 80-20 rule, which was you make 80% of your profits with 20% of your crops. And I asked him, what was that 20%? And he said tomatoes and greens. And that's what we were doing at the time. We keep track of our numbers in our market, and the numbers seem to tell us that's what people buy first when they go shopping, so we just begin to concentrate on tomatoes and greens, and we do anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 tomato plants out there in the field, and then we have tomatoes inside polytunnels, hoop houses, and then we do a lot of greens, a lot of Italian greens. So you import the seeds from Italy, and they have strange names like Spigariello and Minestronera Biatina.
Well, here's what I want to do, David. I want to talk to you later in the season and see how the things are going with your new inputs, and see how the tomatoes and greens, and whether you're still making a living. So I hope we can talk later in the year.
I'd love to do that.
All right. Thanks so much, David. Have a great day.
Good talking to you.
Bye-bye. That's David Cleverton from Knick Farm. Wow. We got a lot in this show today.
Went by fast, didn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
Remember, you can listen to us anytime on the podcast page on MikeNovak.net, and you can search for us on iTunes Podcasts. Just search Mike Novak. That's N-O-W-A-K.
Wow, you're doing your job and everything. This is great.
Don't you love it?
Yeah.
See what happens when you stop paying me in dirt?
And then next week, I think we're going to try to hammer out some of these arguments we've had about dog poo and chips, wood chips in the soil, and just see how all that shakes down. So come back and join us next week. We hope you will. And until then, go green.
Or go home.